Okay, let us pray. Yes, Lord, we pray that speak to us, speak to me, speak to everyone here. Not so that we can hear you and we can know that how much you love us and what a precious truth we can have in you. And Lord, we pray that give us faith so that we have faith to hear your word and protect us from all the distraction from the devil ones. Protect us by the covering of your blood so that we can draw close to you and see you. Lord, we commit our time unto your hands. Thank you so much. You have a precious plan and work in each one of us. So that, Lord, we commit our time and ourselves into your hands. May glory be to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God that we can gather together and to look at his words together. This morning, the theme of the message I would like to speak on is have salt in yourselves. I've been a while and not meeting with you here, so it's a good time and I can see you, and I find that the numbers are more now, which is God's grace. The message today I'm going to speak is based on Mark chapter 9, verse 49 to 50. Can you see on the screen? Quite a while back ago, I used three times to speak on the first three succession of Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 50. But I just finished at verse 48. I didn't manage to go to the last succession, which is that session, so I want to finish them today. Let us read these two verses, Mark chapter 9, verse 49 to 50. Let us read together. It's in ESV version. For everyone will be salted with fire.
Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another.
I would like to give this short message a theme. Have salt in yourselves. Before we look at these two verses, let us review their background. Jesus told the disciples earlier in the previous chapter that he is the Christ, whom all the Israelites were long waiting for. He is the glorious and powerful King promised in the Old Testament. He is sent by God to come to save and set his people free from the bondage and from the enemy. However, Jesus also told the disciples that both in chapter 8 and 9, he will be killed by men and will be resurrected by God. For example, in chapter 9, verse 31, he said, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." In other words, in order to rise up to fulfill God's will on him to accomplish the salvation work and to reign as our glorious Savior King, Jesus had to go through suffering till death beforehand. Then in verse 30 to 48, Jesus talked about true greatness is to serve others' needs with humility. Believers are very precious in God's eyes. We need to avoid sinning at all earthly cost. These are background of Mark chapter 9, verse 49 to 50. I would like to look at the theme, have salt in yourselves, from these two verses in three main points. First, every disciple will be salted with fire. Second, be willing to be salted in order to have salt in yourselves. Thirdly, have peace with one another. Let us look at the first point. Every disciple will be salted with fire. In verse 49, he said, "For everyone will be salted with fire." This is the verse which may not be easy to understand. For example, to the disciples, what is the fire here referring to? The fire with which believers or disciples to be salted is not fire of hell for punishment, mentioned in previous verses 43 to 48. The fire of hell is only for non-believers, including Judah, who is following Jesus at that time. All the sins of believers have been forgiven by God because of the blood of Jesus on the cross. There's no more punishment of sins by hellfire for believers anymore. But for the believers, the fire here refers to the purifying fire, not the punishing fire. To be salted with fire to the disciples means to be purified by the fire of trials or fire of testing. This fire is to purify our faith in God, to strengthen our faith, to deepen our faith in God. The fire of suffering can be used by God as the loving discipline and training for us. It is to deal with our old self-centered, sinful self, our selfishness, our pride, so that we can be transformed to be more like Christ, more free from the influence and the power of our old sinful self. Therefore, to the believers, everyone will be salted with fire, means everyone will be purified by fire. Nowadays, some people, they use wealth, health, or success to attract people to believe in Jesus. They preach the so-called prosperity gospel, saying, if you believe in Jesus, Jesus will bless you with wealth, health, and success. This prosperity gospel is not the true gospel from the Bible. This is a false gospel. God saves us is not for us to sit there to enjoy the worldly blessing in a selfish way until the day we go to heaven. Without being transformed to Christ likeness, God wants to use the time while we are on earth to transform us to be like Christ, to share more of His holiness, His righteousness, His peace, His joy and love, so that we can love and enjoy Him more. This is to prepare us to enjoy the full salvation with other children of God, the full extent of love and glory of God in the heaven. We know that this world is full of chaos and sufferings. Since rebellion against God occurred, sin came into this world. Suffering came along as well. However, in this fallen world, oftentimes we don't know why a certain suffering comes upon to a certain person or even to ourselves. It can be an illness, an accident, a broken family, or even a war. It can be due to the foolishness or sin of other people, or our own foolishness or sins, or due to some uncontrollable natural disaster or any unknown reasons. No matter what the reasons are, God is still able to turn whatever suffering come upon us into purifying fires to teach us, to discipline us, to train us, to purify us, to deepen our faith in God, and to transform us to like Christ more. This is what God is to do in each of his born-again child. So this is the purifying fire mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Let us look at that. Thank you. Let me read. The Apostle Peter said in verse 3 to 5. How about we read it together?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Here we see that every believer who is born again, child of God, is promised by God the inheritance, imperishable and undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for them. The inheritance includes the likeness of Christ. We can be conformed with Christ. We can inherit his character. We can inherit his holiness and kindness, his joy and love and peace. We can inherit God's divine nature. We can love him and enjoy the oneness with him fully. For this precious inheritance, God also promised to guard his children with his power through our continuous faith in him, so that we are able to receive the inheritance in the last time. For this future glorious inheritance in the last time, Peter continued in verse 6 and verse 9. Let us read together.
In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the test of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 89. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
With a glorious hope of inheritance, Peter said that our faith needs to be trialed and tested by fire to be refined and purified. In the time of trial and testing, it can be painful and suffering loss. Sometimes it might cause us to forfeit physical or earthly things precious to us, like hand, foot, eyes, mentioned in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 to 48. In the process, we may be grieved by various trials. However, we can have the preciousness of our faith, which may result in praise, honor, and glory to God. We may rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. The Lord allows fire of hardship and trials coming upon us in order to deal with our sinful old self. It is for our profit that we may be partaker of the holiness of God. So the purifying fire is for good and not for evil. As God said to his people in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, about the tribulation of the captivity in Babylon. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Sometimes the fire of hardship and trust come to a person is not because he or she has done anything wrong, but rather because God is pleased with her. God regards him to be ready for more blessings of training or purifying process to refine him and mature him. Like Job, the servant of God in the Old Testament, God allowed fire of trial to come upon him. It is not because Job has done anything wrong, but because he's very precious and pleased in God's eyes. God loved him and allowed fire of trial sorted him in order to mature him and prepare him with blessing of greater faith and greater enjoyment in God. Because God wants Christians to be like Christ, to partake the holiness and riches of Christ. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 49, "Everyone will be sorted with fire." After looking at everyone will be sorted with fire, let us now move to the second point. That is, be willing to be sorted in order to have salt in yourself. In verse 15, the first part, let us read together. "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself." Yes, salt is good. For us in modern day, salt is cheap and easy to get. In ancient times, it is precious. In fact, ancient Roman soldiers received part of their pay in salt, a payment called salarium, from which we get the modern word salary. Salt is good. Salt has a preserving power. It can preserve food from being rotten. Salt can even kill germs. It can protect us from infection when we have sore ache or inflammation. We usually gargle salty water, trying to heal it or stop it from getting worse more easily. The saltiness of Christians can preserve and transform their society even. When the Welsh revival in United Kingdom broke out more than 100 years ago in November 1904 in southern Wales, more than 80,000 people were converted to become Christians in the first few months. It's a big revival. A Christian historian recorded for this time, "People were changed in so many ways. The crime rate dropped, drunkards were reformed, pubs reported losses in trade, bad language disappeared and never returned to the lips of many and understand the newborn, many people of the newborn again Christian." It was reported the small horses in the coal mine, what they call pit ponies, failed to understand the newly born again coal mine workers who no longer include curse and blasphemy words in the language. Or the football and rugby became uninteresting in the light of new joy and direction received by the new believers. Because salt is good. So Jesus said to the disciples, "Have salt in yourselves." God desires his children to be blessing of saltiness. to people around by bringing a purifying, preserving impact to them. So that Christian can be good witness to people around and bring the gospel to them so that they can be converted to Christ from corruption. Lives can be preserved by the gospel from being perished in their sins. Salt is good, but Christians can lose their saltiness. Jesus said, "But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again?" Christians without saltiness have lost their effectiveness as Christian. Do you have saltiness? Do you have salt in yourselves? Do you lose your saltiness? Instead of bringing Jesus and gospel to non-Christian around us with a purifying and preserving power, do we lose our saltiness and be contaminated and influenced by them instead? When your colleagues said bad things behind your boss's back, do you join with them? When your classmates talk about dirty jokes, do you laugh with them? At Auburn, we distribute free food to locals every Monday. Some people occupy places in the queue for their late coming friends, which they shouldn't have. Once I talked to a Christian lady who occupied places for her friends. Her explanation was that other people were doing this, so she did that as well. Do we sometimes lose our saltiness among others? Originally, salt is sodium chloride, which can't lose its saltiness. However, in the old days, when salt was taken from the Dead Sea in Israel, they were mixed with impurities such as gypsum, which looked like salt. In the presence of water and humidity, gypsums can react chemically with salt to destroy the sodium chloride structure and hence its saltiness. Once the salt is destroyed, it is very hard to make it salty again. Why Christians can lose its saltiness? It is because of the impurities in their hearts and lives. Those impurities can hinder us to live out the purifying power and preserving impact to people around them or around us. After Christians receive a new life from God when they believe in Jesus, it is possible for us to live by our own self-centered and unrighteous self instead of the new life self we receive. Just like the disciples arguing who was the greatest in earlier session of Mark chapter 9, verse 30 and to 37. These impurities of selfish ambition and pride need to be purified and transformed into true greatness to serve others in humility and love, including serving the insignificant ones. The same pride and self-centeredness from our old self can cause others to stumble or sin, including those who are young in their faith, including our own children. This is what Jesus warned against the disciples in Mark chapter 9, verse 42. In order for Christians to grow in true love and holiness, each of us needs to be purified and salted with fire so that we can have salt in us. But sometimes, we don't want to grow in true love and holiness to glorify God because we are not willing to be salted by fire or hardship or suffering. Therefore, sometimes when hardship or difficulties come, we might complain or even blame God. If God doesn't take the hardship away as soon as we expect, we can even grow our anger towards God. Or we blame others, saying, all your fault, or all his fault. Why we have these mentalities? Because we are not willing to be sorted by fire. Are the above attitudes towards hardship or difficulties we have? Anything happened in the last week causing us to run away from our challenging responsibility? Or anything make us complain to God last week? A difficult assignment at school? A difficult interaction or relationship with someone? Hardship and suffering are the reality of life in the fallen world, no matter for non-Christians or Christians. The difference is that for Christians, all hardships and suffering have a purpose. This is for us to be transformed, to share Christ's character, or to enjoy him more fully. However, Christian can suffer in vain if we are not willing to be sorted with fire. After the suffering, our lives haven't grown more like Christ. We can remain as our old self, haven't learned from experience of God's grace, and we suffer in vain. Therefore, it's important for Christians to be willing to be sorted with fire. That is to seek God earnestly and trust him firmly in the fiery trial. Hold on to God to ask him to teach us what we should learn or grow through the trial of fire. God knows to what extent a certain trial should last, and when it accomplished his particular purpose on us through the trial. A lot of times the fire might not be a big hardship coming upon us, like a martyrdom or terminal illness. It might be only an active choice needed to be made to deny ourselves, to choose to love and obey God, to honor God. Sometimes it may be even only a choice on a small thing. For example, if you choose to follow the Holy Spirit prompting to wash the big pile of dishes, to free your wives for a bit of rest, even when you feel very tired yourself. Or if you decide to wake up every morning 20 minutes earlier to draw near to God through reading the Bible and prayer. You choose to deny your own physical comfort or warm bed and get up the set time each day to have fellowship with the Lord. Or after many guests have left, your mom asks you to vacuum clean the floor and mop it. You then choose to deny your own convenience and comfort to honor your mom and to contribute your effort for your family with love. These choices of self-denial to your own comfort and convenience can also be regarded as being sorted with fire. Or you choose to stop accumulating money by unrighteous interaction with Centrelink of Australian Taxation Office. You choose to love God, trusting him, and deny your unrighteous money and the financial security come from it for yourself and for your children. When we are willing to be sorted by fire, the fire can destroy the perishable impurities. The impurities such as the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life. And the Holy Spirit can form Christ-like character in us, which is unperishable. Through choosing a small or big self-denial for loving God and trusting him, God can transform us into his likeness to enjoy his abundant life. Being sorted with fire is a necessary process for Christians to grow more into Christ likeness, to experience greater in love and humility, more Christ holiness and trust in God, and to enjoy Him more fully. That's why in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul talks about how the disciples is going to face. He say, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus calls us to. Have salt in yourselves. After looking at every disciple will be salted with fire and be willing to be salted in order to have salt in yourselves, we come to the third point. Have peace with one another. As the last sentence of Mark chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus said, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. When Christians have salt in themselves, they are able to be at peace with one another. Rather than being jealous with others' greatness or competing among themselves for greatness, they allow God to transform their selfish ambitions of greatness into passion in service out of love in humility. Because they are at peace with God in Christ, they have peace with themselves. Since they have peace with themselves in Christ, they have peace with one another among people. Today, if we have difficulties in our relationship with people, sometimes it tells us that we might be lack of peace with ourselves. Does our lack of peace within us tell us that we are lack of peace with God? Does it tell us that we need to have salt in us? Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let us read together. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Salt has ability to season food, to give flavor to food, to make it taste good and delightful to eat. When a person having salt in him or her, when they speak, their words are edifying like healthy, tasteful food to take. Spiritual saltiness gives taste of grace. Here, Apostle Paul uses salt to speak of grace. When a Christian has been salted with fire, not only his life being purified and be more righteous, he will have a deeper experience with grace. Because in the fire of hardship and self-denial, he knows his weakness better. The more he sees his weakness, the more he can appreciate God's grace. The more he appreciates God's grace, the more he's able to receive God's grace with humility. The more he receives God's grace with humility, the more grace he can have to give to other people with humility. Therefore, spiritual saltiness not only comes along with power of preservation, but also power of grace and humility. Because of grace, our speech can give flavor to our conversation. So in our conversation with our spouse or children or children-in-law, do we have flavor of grace or bitterness? Or when we talk to our parents, siblings, or parents-in-law, do we have flavor of grace or bitterness? My brother lives in Canada, where the roads are covered with snow turning into ice, which can be very dangerous for cars. They told me that the Canadian government uses salt to melt the slippery ice on roads during the cold seasons. Just the road salt they need to buy for that purpose each year might cost about 350 million Canadian dollars. Like road salt to hard cold ice, the salt of grace in us for others may be able to melt the coldness and hardness of their hearts. May this salt of grace attract us to be willing to be salted with purifying fire so that we can have grace and to share grace influence to people around us. Apart from seasoning effect, saltiness can create thirst in people as well. The more salt we have, the more thirst we can be. Jesus in Matthew 5 saying, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." The more salt we have, the more we are thirst of righteousness, the thirst will motivate us to seek for the righteousness of God and His kingdom. Jesus promised that this thirst of righteousness will be satisfied. Not only our spiritual righteousness, saltiness, can create thirst for righteousness in us, it can create thirst for righteousness in people around us, including our children, family, and friends. Like Apostle Paul said in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. How about we read it together? Verse 13. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Continue. "Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Let us pay attention to verse 15. When we have salt, people around us see the righteousness and grace in our life. This creates a thirst in their hearts to know the reason for the hope we have. As verse 15 said, then we can tell them Jesus is the reason for our hope. Brothers and sisters, do we have salt in our life? Do we have peace? Do we have a flavor of grace? Are we thirsty for righteousness? All this will help us to have peace, can be at peace with people around us. Not only at peace with them, but also bring God's peace to them. Bring grace and thirst of righteousness to their life. Not only to them, but also to ourselves. As we Christians come together, we can really be at peace with one another. Oftentimes in interpersonal conflict, very easily, we may think that the majority of the problem, or even all problems, lie in the other party. I am the innocent one, or I am the only victim. Have I think of my own lack of saltiness? Am I lack of peace? Am I lack of flavor of grace? Am I lack of thirst for righteousness? do I desire the saltiness God wants to give us? So let us trust our Lord and let Him to transform us, to purify us in His gracious hands, even to salt us with His purifying fire. Some Christians might think that the cost of being salted by fire is too much. The cost of avoiding sinning or denying my sinful desire is too big for me. But actually, the cost of not being salted by fire is much bigger. If we are not willing to be salted by fire, we won't be able to share Christ's likeness and enjoy Him and His love and peace more fully. We won't be able to have salt. Not only is it a huge loss for ourselves, it is also a huge loss for people close to us whom we love, such as our children. Before them, we might lose our saltiness. Our words are lack of grace for our children. And we don't have salt to arouse them to thirst, to have a desire to know Jesus and His righteousness. A few days ago, I heard that some year one and two boys joining together sexually attack a 5-year-old kindy girl at school playground during school hours. When I heard of that, I was very shocked and sad. What happened to our children? Why their behavior, their hearts are so wicked, so sick, so distorted? Even at this age of grade one and two, what are feeding them from their environment, from internet or social media, in their secret life, without the parents knowing? How we can protect our children from this wicked influence? To help our children to know the Lord and grow strong and to be protected from the wickedness of this world is not by establishing proper education for them or other financial security for them, but through our saltiness. Not only parents, each young person has their responsibility to trust in Jesus and follow Him. Each young person needs to be salted by fire, if you're Christian, in order to be purified and preserved from the wickedness of this adulterous generation. This is an urgent call, an important call for saltiness to both parents and children, for every Christian. Therefore, if we are currently in the middle of intense purifying fire, don't be discouraged, but seek God how we can grow and continue trusting Him in this fire of suffering, so that the Lord strengthen us for us to endure and to be purified, so that God can transform us through His word. There was a story about a Christian woman in big hardship. One day she had an opportunity to visit a silversmith and watched him holding a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. After a while, she asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time when the silver was being refined. The man answered, "Yes, I not only had to sit there the whole time holding the silver steadily and carefully on top of the hottest part of the fire to refine it. I also had to keep my eyes on the silver the entire time when it was in the fire. It is because if the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed." The woman was still silent for a while. Then she asked the silversmith again, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see the my own image in it." The woman reflected on this for a while, and a smile gradually appeared on her face. She seemed to have gained some insight from it. After thanking the silversmith, she rose up and left. If you are in a fiery trial today, yes, it is difficult. But remember, our God is keeping his wise and loving eyes to watch over us, holding us steadily and securely in his mighty hand. He knows the best timing the trial can achieve its purpose, to see his transformation work through us, to reflect his image, his character. Jesus set himself to be the pioneer in front of us. He denied himself and took up his cross unto death on the cross in order to be our glorious and victorious Savior King to bring us new life. He also wants us to be sorted by fire in order to experience a victorious, abundant life in us. This is how God transformed us to his Son's likeness, for us to fully enjoy him and his abundant life. So let us commit ourselves to co-work with him in our daily life, to be sorted for his gracious transformation work, for his glory. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your salvation accomplished on the cross. And we thank you for your everlasting love on us in order to transform us so that we can enjoy you more fully. Now we commit the words into your hands. May all these Bible verses stick in our heart so that we can be encouraged and have a desire to be willing to be like you, and even to go through fire to be sorted. Lord, we pray that any one of us are in the middle of hardship. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you encourage them so that in the difficulties they can have peace and faith in you to endure so that your good work can accomplish. Lord, we commit each one of us into your hands so that you teach us to learn what we want, what you want on us, so that we can experience your abundant life. Hear our prayer. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.